Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm here in Madison with beat reporter Charles F. Gardner for the opening of Bucks training camp. The Bucks played a preseason game in Madison in 1999, but haven't had much of a presence in the state capital over the past 15 years until today. Charles, what do you make of the Bucks holding training camp here in Madison?
Well, Matt, I think it's just a nice trip for the Bucks for the first week. They have 4 days here. It's a different venue. It's something new. Orion was at practice today, and I think the Bucks enjoyed getting out of the Cousins Center, maybe going somewhere different, at least for part of training camp. They're going to be back there for a lot of the time in October and for the rest of the season for practices. So I think this is a fresh start. And, of course, it's also a promotional idea. I think the owners, the players, were interested in maybe showing that they are a state team. That's been talked about a lot the last few days. And so that's part of it as well. Mark Lassery, Wes Edens, talked about that yesterday at Media Day. And it was interesting that some of the players apparently had an idea to go away for at least the first part of training camp, and the Bucks decided to take them up on that idea. Apparently one of those players was Jared Dudley, who's no longer with the Bucks, but maybe he's with the Washington Wizards, but maybe he's waving from Washington, you know, I don't know. But hey, the end result was here the Bucks are in Madison for the first week of camp.
You know, but as much of a fun change of pace trip as this is, it's still a business trip. This is training camp. This is a team that, you know, was kind of a surprise playoff team last year that retooled, made a big splash in free agency, especially with Greg Monroe, made some changes, and they have high expectations for this year. You know, so they're not going to treat training camp like an event or, you know, something to entertain fans or anything different like that. You know, talking to Monroe today at practice, he said, you know, this is an opportunity to get away. You know, usually players, you know, when they're at home in Milwaukee, they'll go home to their respective places, you know, after practice, and there's not an effort to build camaraderie, but here they're in the hotel together, they're hanging out together, they can go out, you know, in town for dinner or whatever together and spend that quality time, but they're really locked in on becoming a better team, on getting used to playing with one another, which, you know, they could do a little bit in informal practices and pick up games and whatever they did over the summer. But this is a chance to do it with coaching, do it when they're working on offensive and defensive sets. You're not just freelancing. You really are putting in, you know, the front work for getting the season off on a good start. And so they're really focused on that.
Well, correct. That was funny that Monroe today said, hey, we had shorter practices at Georgetown. They weren't this long after Jason Kidd went 3 hours today. And tomorrow there are two practices. And Thursday there are two practices. So it is business, as you said. And there was a lot of talk. I think there were fans in Madison would have liked to have seen an open practice. You and I received some emails about that. But there won't be one here. There's a lot of work for them to do. They're going to have one Saturday in Milwaukee. They will play a preseason game here on October 20th. But as you say, the bottom line is they're still doing a lot of work, and especially in that first week in training camp, that's when a lot of, as Monroe talked about today, the lingo, the play calls, some of this is put in, and it's an important time. You know, they scrimmage today, so there's a lot of work going on, and this is an important time in preparation. Already they'll have a preseason game 1 week from today, next Tuesday in Chicago against the Bulls.
You know, and I can see where fans in Madison would be kind of bummed, you know, that they're not going to get a chance to see the team. You know, there has been a lot of talk over the summer that the Bucks are coming here for training camp. You know, that's something that they were buzzing about. And then, you know, there's no opportunity, there's no events, there's no, you know, access. And that's not an uncommon thing in the NBA during the first week of training camp for coaches to shut the doors. I mean, this is their first chance to get in there. They don't really open up, you know, for a lot of access. But as a fan, you see the team come in, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't matter. You know, they're in your town, but there's no, there's no access. You can't go in and see them and kind of interact with the players unless you happen to go to the same restaurant they go to at night.
Jason was saying that maybe some of the players would be out and about at volleyball game or some events around the UW campus this week, and maybe they will be in that.
Yeah, but
that
nothing official.
But nothing official, correct.
And so that I can see where fans might be a little upset about that. You know, if you are a big fan, you do have the opportunity to go to Milwaukee on Saturday for their open practice and fan fest. But you know, it's still a trip for someone who lives in Madison or a different part of the state. So in that regard, I think you know the Bucks kind of you know might rethink that in the future. I don't know if they will, but it's something to consider if you're going to have training camp or have opportunities elsewhere. You know, fans are going to want to take advantage and interact with the team.
We'll see how the attendance is here on October 20th. That'll be interesting. There is a buzz about the team, I think, already, and it'll be interesting to see when they play the Timberwolves here on October 20th, how many fans show up. Okay, and now I guess we're also going to talk, Matt, about the owners. The owners were up on stage at Media Day, all three of them, Jamie Dimon, Mark Lazary, Wes Edens, and I thought it was interesting. They all talked frankly about their expectations for the team and their hopes for the team during this season, and it was great to hear from them. They were pretty candid, I thought, and they said, I think one of the quotes was, We're impatient by nature. We're patient, but we're impatient. We want to see improvement. We know that it takes time. They have a young team. But I think it was Wes Edens who said, we know the East is better, but we think we're better too. We're a better team also. So there's certainly some expectations there with some of the moves the Bucks have made in the offseason, getting Monroe in free agency, picking up Grievous Vasquez. And the ownership feels they're taking steps to improve. And they were 41-41 last year, but certainly going to be better than that this season. But it was interesting to hear the owners. They also talked about the arena, the new practice facility. Wes Edens talked about the practice facility being done maybe in about a two-year time period and what it might look like. So they were working on the planning for the practice facility. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to hear from them, and they're obviously engaged with
yeah,
this
very
team.
Much so.
Yeah.
You know, and it just the biggest takeaway for me is that they're not really satisfied with anything that's happened so far. You know, they like it, and that you know Jamie Dimon mentioned that it was very good and positive for the team and for the arena and for all the timing that the Bucks were good last year. That they got a couple home playoff games, they got the crowd energized, you know, they had people come out. You know, sure, there were some Bulls fans, but there were times in that series where it was a lot more Bucks fans, or at least they were much louder. You know, and so, you know, that kind of helped parlay some good favor to the team. And, you know, they have their eyes higher. They want to do more. They want the team to do more. And, you know, like you said, Wes Edens, they're impatient people. They like, you know, running a business and getting things done and all that, but they know that building a team the right way, and John Hammond mentioned this a couple times, it takes time. You know, there's a plan. There's something that they're putting together that they hope can be a long-term, you know, thing. You know, they have those six core players that Hammond has mentioned multiple times that they want to build around and center this team on, and everyone seems to be on the same page, and, you know, that's a positive sign for ownership to be on that page, to understand that you can't just turn a team around overnight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they're building with this young group and hoping they can grow together. It'll be interesting to see how many of them stay. You know, Monroe signed a three-year deal with two guaranteed years. So he's going to take a look at how the franchise moves forward. He's only 25, so he's going to be judging while also playing and seeing how he fits.
And he wants to be free for that big free agency year, and the cap goes up. I mean, who wouldn't want to be free for that?
Correct. And he's sounding all the right notes right now. Obviously, he's optimistic about what the Bucks can do, and he picked them for a reason. He picked them over the Lakers and the Knicks. You know, what did he say yesterday? That was one of the best quotes of Media Day. He said,
I'm not a real estate agent. I'm here to play basketball. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't care where.
He said he's not a realtor.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be somewhere where it's a, you know, a big market or big money. I think it was him who mentioned that, you know, Kevin Durant plays in a small market and LeBron James plays in a small market. You know, you don't need to be in a big market to be a star. You kind of have to decide that for yourself, and you know, that's something that is positive in the NBA for a city like Milwaukee. That's changed.
That helps the Bucks, and that's what Mark Lasry said. I think he said, look, that's changed in the NBA now. Players realize they can get endorsements or they can do things. Although it was funny today that Monroe said, you know, have you seen me on any commercials? I'm not into that. So that was funny too. But so it's a little bit about his personality as well.
Yeah. So we can talk more about Monroe then. You know, what are you looking at him, you know, for this season?
On the court.
On the court.
Yeah, I think he just makes such a big difference for the Bucks. He's a low post scorer, somebody they can throw the ball to and actually get 2 points. Bucks fans remember how many times the ball would go into the middle, whether it was Larry Sanders or maybe even Zaza. Zaza had a great year last year. But there just wasn't a sure low post scorer. Certainly when they had Sanders there, he was a defender. He was a great shot blocker. And, you know, now you kind of have the other side of that. There are questions about Monroe's defense, but they're surrounding him with all these long athletic players, Parker, Giannis, John Henson. And then you've got Monroe, who will probably get better in that department. And he's such a good scorer. He's scored, average a double-double last season for Detroit, and nearly has done that in his 5-year NBA career.
Yeah, and as physical of a player as Zaza Pachulia is, I don't think you'd ever say he attacked the basket.
No.
And that's just not something that was a part of his game, no. You know? And with Monroe, you know, he can do that definitely more than Zaza did. And that's a different element, you know, that the Bucks will have.
Yeah, just a totally different player. And obviously, the Bucks went hard to get him in free agency, hoping they could get him. And, you know, him landing him was one of the biggest, news events, I guess you would say, out of the whole summer of free agency, and surprised a lot of people in the league. So now, how will he do? How does all this talent mesh together with these 5 young guys under 25 years old in the starting lineup? They've been working out informally, and Greg said today that he thought that really helped him because some of the players came in early and they've worked out. Now, he didn't feel just lost on the first day of training camp. He already felt pretty comfortable. Yeah. But now the one thing he mentioned that I thought was interesting, he said they're starting to get the lingo down and get the play calls, and he said those differ from team to team. So things he was used to in Detroit, he's got to learn the numbers, the system for it with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and when's the last time the Bucks had a low post scoring threat, the kind of guy you play through?
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. You know, we think of Dan Gezerich and players like that that have been at the center spot for the Bucks. So this is going to be, well, we have Bob Lanier.
They were hoping that Andrew Bogut would be that, but that didn't pan out
due to injuries, and he was more also a defensive force in his time in Milwaukee. He anchored Scott Skiles' defense, but he never did become a consistent scorer, and you know, he probably never is going to be that in his career. He's a great defender, but that's going to be real interesting for Bucks fans to watch.
Yeah, and we'll have to see how he meshes with the perimeter guys and kind of the, you know, versatile guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker. You know, exactly how they'll work together, considering that, you know, Giannis and Jabari can play the 3, can play the 4, can move around the court, you know, and, you know, or if Monroe will ever be used on the court at the same time as John Henson, you know, a guy who Monroe said has to be considered among the top centers off the bench or big men off the bench. You know, he has high regard for Henson, you know, even though the two of them play the game very differently.
Right. No, it'll be interesting. And I think they will play together at times, and that's going to be very interesting. Jason today said, you know, we can play Greg at the 4. Don't think we can't. We can do that. It's primarily going to be at the 5 spot. But we saw last year that Jason will mix and match positions and players, and that's one of his strengths, so I think you'll see that again.
Yeah, and Monroe also mentioned that, you know, Jabari Parker didn't play a lot of games last year due to injury, but he played a couple against the Pistons.
Yeah.
And so they got to kind of go back and forth, and he's seen a difference in Parker from last year to this year, especially physically. You know, he's built himself up more, Parker has, and that he looks like he can hold his own more at the four, which he considers his true position.
That was interesting, and I thought perceptive by Greg when he said today, well, hey, look, we saw Jabari several times last year because the Bucks played a preseason game against Detroit and then two early games. In fact, Jabari had a real good game in Detroit that the Bucks lost by 2 points or 3 points. I'd have to go back and look it up. But it was a very close game at the end, and Jabari had made some key plays at the end of the game in the fourth quarter. Detroit won the game. But so there was Greg saying, hey, I remember that, and he impressed me even then. And of course, one of the most interesting things in the summer was Greg saying that one of the big reasons he signed with the Bucks was Parker. He came flat out and said that. He said, hey, you know, they had Jabari Parker too, as well as that they had done well in the playoffs, had made it to the playoffs, and he said they did that without Parker.
Well, now they've got Parker back. You know, today he was full go in practice. They didn't hold him out of anything. And, you know, we'll have to see how he goes in return from his, you know, left ACL injury.
Right. I mean, it was very encouraging news. They went 3-plus hours, and Parker made it all the way through. You could tell Coach Kidd was very impressed with that and encouraged by it. He said they have a plan for Parker this week in practice. And while he didn't divulge that plan,
of course,
he said that they're going to stick to it unless they have a setback, I think is what he said. And now, there are the two-a-days on Wednesday and Thursday, so we'll see, you know, what they're going to do, how much he can do. Parker seemed to hint today that he would go through it if he could, and if he couldn't, then there would be that decision to make. But, you know, apparently we weren't in practice today, but everything we heard was that he was full go and doing all the drills, and Coach Kidd said he did.
Yeah, and that's a positive sign for the Bucks. You know, coming back from a torn ACL like that, that's not easy, and sometimes it takes a lot longer than the 10 months that it's been. And he's been working on it over the summer. He's been, you know, in the weight room a lot and trying to get that rehab going to get himself to a position where he could play. And he knows he's not going to play the number of minutes that he might have played otherwise if he was fully healthy this whole time, you know, and he, you know, recognizes that and knows that he needs to just kind of go full out, you know, in the games, in the times that he's given, you know. And Jason Kidd, he's not the kind of coach who's going to push everybody to play, you know, 30-plus minutes a game or anything like that. He knows it's a long season. He's played through it before, you know, and he's going to get that whole bench involved. So, you know, there's not going to be a ton of pressure on Parker, especially at the beginning. But as the season wears on, we'll have to see how much he can do, because I think he's going to be a big part of this team.
Yeah, no question. Well, that's the intention. And it's just, you're right, during the preseason, I'm sure minutes are going to get spread around. And even the players were saying today that Jason had said, hey, everybody's going to play. And we saw that last year. So, but obviously, Parker's a big, big piece here. And they're trying to bring him along so that when the season starts or when the time, when they feel he can play regular minutes, that he will do that. And maybe he'll be able to do that from the start of the season. We're just going to have to see. So, you know, I guess the other thing that we were going to talk about, Matt, was just this Eastern Conference race, and it got even a little more interesting today, unfortunately, due to an injury to Derrick Rose, who's been so injury-prone, it's just almost unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And that he got an elbow in practice today. Now, maybe it won't be a long-term thing. We certainly hope it won't be. But he is having surgery, and that makes it sound like he's going to be out for at least a certain period at the start of the season. We'll find out. But how does that shape the East? There's just a lot of change going on in the East. I thought some of the players said it well yesterday. They said, hey, the East has improved. You got Miami. Chris Bosh will be back. You figure they're going to be better. You got Atlanta, Washington. There were a lot of teams that were pretty close together in the East. Remember, the Bucks almost, well, they had a good chance to catch Washington, possibly.
For the five seed.
For the fifth spot. And then after the trade, the Brandon Knight trade, they took a little step back and they lost some games and they kind of lost their chance for that fifth spot. Certainly one of the things that there, John Henson even said it at Media Day, I thought was interesting. He said, we hope we can push up to be one of those top four teams and have home court in the first round. And that's certainly a good goal for the team. But it will be interesting. Where do you see the Bucks fitting in the East?
Well, I mean, it's really tough. In addition to the Derrick Rose injury, the news today about Iman Shumpert from the Cavs, he's hurt too, and he's going to be out for a much longer period of time
12 to 14 weeks
than Derrick Rose. And so obviously he's not the key guy for the Cavs, you know, since they'll have, you know, their big guys back from last year after they were missing in the finals. You know,
but Tristan Thompson still hasn't signed his
contract. Well, sure.
But that may be
the result. So things up in the air for the Cavs, but it's hard to argue that any other team besides the Cavs is the team to beat in the East.
Right.
And you know, as the Bucks, you've got to get past the Bulls, too. I mean, Derrick Rose's injury right now doesn't seem to be nothing more than a couple months at most. I mean, Larry Sanders suffered a similar orbital fracture, and he missed 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys, you know, had the same injury, missed only a couple weeks. It varies from person to person, the level of the fracture, the location, things like that. You know, so I don't know. It'd be kind of like the baseball season where the Central Division might be really good.
It might be.
And so you have the Cavs, the Bulls, and the Bucks, and those three teams could be, you know, fighting each other to the point where, you know, maybe the Bucks couldn't be one of, you know, they have to pass the Cavs and or the Bulls in order to be one of those top four teams, and that's no easy challenge. I mean, the Bulls are going through changes with Fred Hoiberg and, you know, kind of creating a new culture.
Coach. But again, the Bucks have a long step to take to get up with the Bulls or go past them. We saw last year in the playoffs, they were down 3-0, they came back, they won two good games, then they got blown out in Game 6 when the Bulls veterans, including Pau Gasol, said, okay, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Yep.
Right? And so there's still a big step there to be taken. But the Bucks certainly turned a lot of heads during the summer where people feel they can. You know, I think one important thing for them is, you know, they still didn't have a winning season last year. They were 41-41.
Yeah.
So whatever you want to say, that was an improvement, 26 games. But
you were starting from so low.
Correct. But now they have to get up. Can they get 47, 48? Can they get near the 50-win mark? If they get near the 50-win mark, they are really making the improvements that the ownership wants them to take and that the fans are hoping for.
And it bears mentioning that they can be outside of the top four and have a home court advantage. You can be the fifth seed, and because of the way that the divisions work out, you get the home court advantage.
Well, now it will all be on just.
Right, Adam Silver making that change.
It'll be just on record, and so it won't be a division winner.
So you could have.
That'll be a four seed.
You can get up to that top four and have three teams from the Central. You could have theoretically the Cavs, Bulls, and Bucks being in the top four. And that could work out.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a surprise.
It would be. I mean, but looking around the rest of the East, you know, the Hawks are still around. They've still got a lot of the pieces. They were the top seed last year. I would expect them to regress a little bit, you know, considering how well they did last year.
Yeah, they had a great season.
But outside of that, you know, there's some question marks around the rest of the East. You know, the Wizards, they've still got John
great
Wall.
They've got a great backcourt. Wall and Beal.
You know, but still, they're only a couple games better than the Bucks, who I think improved more than the Wizards did over the summer, especially considering the Wizards lost Paul Pierce. You know, Jared Dudley came over from the Bucks to the Wizards, but he's not Paul Pierce.
And he's injured right now to start the season.
Right.
He will be out. So,
yeah.
So it will be interesting to see. Again, the Central does look good. Indiana should be better. Paul George will be back. And they could be a playoff contending threat from the beginning, where they really weren't last year because of the Paul George injury.
That'll be an interesting study, too, because now with Roy Hibbert gone to the Lakers and West choosing to leave lots of money on the table to go to the Spurs,
right.
You know, they're They're looking like they're going to have Paul George play the four, which is something that he's not super excited about. That'll make the team look very different. They're retooling. I don't say they're rebuilding, but they're retooling and trying to create a whole new vibe for their team and a new scheme for their team. I don't know exactly what to make of the Pacers.
It'll also be very interesting because the Bucks play some of the top Western teams in the first 2 months of the season. They'll be in L.A. They play the Clippers. They'll play the Lakers, of course, who are the top team at this point, but Kobe will be back. They play Oklahoma City and Dallas on a road trip at the end of December. So they will be playing some of these top teams. It'll be very interesting to see how they do against the West as well. They'll be at San Antonio the first week in December to see the Spurs with LaMarcus Aldridge and that whole new look that they have.
Their big three.
Yeah. Now, so that's going to be very interesting. And how does this young Bucks team do against that? And as we all know, they're going to be opening the season at home, which is for the first time in 30 years. They're actually playing the first two games at home, the Knicks and Washington, before they go to Toronto and Brooklyn. So they'll have a chance to maybe have a solid start to the season. It'll be very interesting to see how they do, especially in these first 2 months.
Definitely, and I think that's all Charles and I had planned to talk about today. We're going to try and keep this podcast going throughout the season. We thank you for joining us, and hope you stick with us throughout the year.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks.